Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to be looking at the WBC. If you haven't been watching, what are you missing? You're missing out on a lot of exciting baseball. Team Puerto Rico, Team Dominican Republic, Team Japan. We're going to talk about all that with the great Katie Wu, who normally covers the St. Louis Cardinals down there in Jupiter. But she has gone down to Miami because she is covering the WBC. So we're going to get a little bit of Cardinals, a little bit of WBC with the great Katie Wu coming up next. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. And how I did say that we are going to be traveling to the Grapefruit League and going over to Florida. We will touch on that, but we are going to focus on the main storyline of the weekend, the WBC in Miami. And covering it, because she covers the Cardinals, but she's switching on over to covering the WBC. She is on assignment, the great Katie Wu. Katie, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, and how's the WBC treating you?
I'm great, Walter. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I think it's safe to say the WBC has certainly lived up to expectations, at least for me. I'm covering Pool D here in Miami, nicknamed jokingly, but only sort of, the Pool of Death, based on the teams that are in this pool. I mean, there's the Dominican Republic, favored to win the tournament at the start of it, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, and we can't count out Nicaragua and Israel as well. It has been I can't even tell you how many days I've been here, because they've all blended together in the best way, but it's certainly been intense and, I believe, great for baseball.
Well, it's amazing with group play. I mean, you got games going on at all times of the day, especially with the teams playing over there in Korea and Japan and all that kind of stuff. So it's really fun, a lot of fun for the WBC. You were on hand, as you said, you're the group of death, Group D, fittingly so. You were on hand for the opener with Team Venezuela and the Dominican Republic. A huge upset for Venezuela. I was speaking with John Morosi earlier this month when we were previewing the WBC, and he did call his shot. He did say that Team Venezuela, you need to watch out. So huge upsets of Dominican Republic and Team Puerto Rico for Venezuela. The atmosphere has looked electric in both Miami and in Phoenix. It seems to be the overall interest is just at a sky high right now. What's your general impressions of the WBC so far from your point of view?
You know, I've always liked the WBC. I've considered it one of my favorite things about baseball in general. And I was so excited to see it coming back after its 6-year hiatus. Of course, COVID interrupted that, but there was questions if this tournament would ever return. And I'm so excited that it did. And it expanded from 16 teams to 20 teams. So we have another wrinkle of all the dramatics that we could possibly ask for. But for me, I think the best part about the WBC is you're really having an opportunity to see how baseball is played in other countries. And not only see that in the stars that come up that, you know, represent MLB, but the stars that represent baseball. And most importantly to me, I think fans are getting to see the importance of how baseball is being celebrated in each specific country. You know, there is a way that Venezuelans play, and there is a way that Japan plays. And to see all those cultures and the respect that they have and the honor that the players have for playing those countries, I think it's really just kind of a tremendous and eye-opening experience. I mean, the games in Miami alone, those are some of the most intense baseball games I've ever seen. You know, I've covered playoffs before. I've attended a World Series game. There are things like that where you just kind of can't really make it up. And for the WBC, these pool play games rival, if not exceed, the environment that I've seen in the postseason.
Yeah, and you could just tell, as you mentioned, you look at these individual countries and how they go about playing the game, and it's just so joyful. And watching that on TV as a fan, taking it in on the couch, like, you can't help but get excited. So I can only imagine how the crowd atmosphere was just watching these teams. Like they're running from first all the way home, scoring. Ronald Acuña diving over a home plate, and then the whole team just pours out of the dugout. Like that's the kind of things that I love seeing is the passion from the players, and that's definitely what you get in the WBC. We're talking with Katie Wu of The Athletic, covering the WBC for now. Katie, how long are you out there? Are you only out there for group play, or are you taking this all the way home?
Well, I'm only out here for group play. Eventually, we'll have to get back to the Cardinals. I joked around with their manager. I'm like, well, you know, you have 17 players leaving for the WBC, and you'll have one reporter, so I'll see you in St. Louis. But no, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, especially this pool and these countries represented and these fans. I mean, it is so loud, Walter. You can't even hear the announcements in the press box. So yeah. You really need to be paying attention to the bullpen because, you know, usually in the press box, the PR staff or the public address announcer will be able to say who's warming up, but we can't hear. So you really have to be paying attention. It's just an insane, incredible environment, and it's really been a joy to cover so far.
Now, someone that you've covered for many years has now retired, but he is now taking on the manager position, is the manager for Team Puerto Rico, Yadier Molina. Have you had any chance to catch up with him? You know, the future class of 2028 Hall of Fame inductee, is he liking managing thus far? And does he have a desire to manage in MLB? Have you had any conversations with Yadi?
Yeah, I've caught up with Yadi very briefly, and he's, of course, with Team Puerto Rico. His brother, Jose, is coaching first base, and his other brother, as Giants fans are familiar with, and Benji Molina, is actually part of Team Puerto Rico's front office. That was really important for Yadi to make sure both of his brothers were involved with the team. I've had a chance to catch them very briefly, just hi and bye. We have plans later in the week during Puerto Rico's off day to kind of sit down, hopefully, and catch up a little bit, but he's made it very clear that he wants to manage. This is actually his second managerial stint. He managed a Venezuelan team in the winter leagues over the offseason and a little bit of a way to prepare for Puerto Rico. But it's so funny to see the differences in him as a player versus him as a manager. As a player, he was intense. He was one of the most riled up guys. He's very passionate. We all know this. As a manager, he still embodies some of those same traits, but he knows, I feel like he can tell, he has to be a little bit more composed. He was ejected three times in his first stint, 3 days in a row in Venezuela. And I think has kind of instilled in him, okay, yeah. let me calm down because this team needs me to lead in a different way than he's used to leading as a player. But certainly an honor for him and for all three Molina brothers to be able to represent their home country.
Well, you know, he did have he was showing some of that intensity when he couldn't ask for a replay review last night.
Yes, I was monitoring. I was like, uh-oh.
Here we go. He's going to get tossed. So funny. We love Yadier Molina. And I don't know if that's just because of the connection with Benji Molina. We followed his career with Buster Posey up here. It was always the competition between who's the best catcher in the National League and all of baseball with Yadier Molina. I personally am a huge fan of the Molina family and just everything that they do for their community in Puerto Rico. So do you see him? I mean, you see him now coaching Team Puerto Rico, and he's coached in Venezuela, as you say. So do you see him getting a coaching opportunity outside of St. Louis? Is that something that he really wants to pursue in his next chapter of his career?
I think it really depends. I mean, he just finished a multi-decade career in MLB, right? But I do think that he's one of those baseball lifers, as you say, and I could see him taking the right opportunity at the right time, but there is no doubting how much the city of St. Louis means to him. Mm-hmm. I think there's tentatively some plans for him to return at some point over the season. We saw Albert Pujols do that already. He came and visited the Cardinals at camp over the spring. It's clear that he wants to continue managing continue coaching, but he also has plenty of priorities back in Puerto Rico. He's the owner of a professional basketball team. His children are heavily involved in sports. He has a lot of work in the community in Puerto Rico back home, of course, with the Yadier Molina Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these things, honestly, will sort themselves out over time. I think this first step in managing Team Puerto Rico was maybe a step up in the responsibility-wise, and we'll see how he responds to that. But I certainly wouldn't rule it out in his future.
Yeah, I would love to see Yadier Molina managing in Major League Baseball. I think that'd be great for the sport. We're talking with Katie Wu of The Athletic. She is covering the WBC right now, Group D, D, I almost said Group Death, Group D in the WBC. And she also covers the St. Louis Cardinals. So, Katie, while I have you, let's kind of pivot a little bit to the Grapefruit League. Let's pivot to the St. Louis Cardinals. And in relation to the WBC, as you mentioned earlier, there isn't a lot of guys in camp. A lot of guys are participating in this world tournament in the WBC. So how does Ollie Marmol kind of go about this? I mean, you're getting a perspective of a deeper look, I guess, at the rosters, but how is he approaching this spring?
You know what? It's almost a blessing in disguise for Ollie Marmol and President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak. Of course, you don't want your star. You when you feel such a heavy group of stars missing from your clubhouse, you don't necessarily want that, but I do think it was a good opportunity for everyone to go out and see different competition. But at the beginning of spring, both John Mozeliak and Ollie Marmol said that this is shaping up to be the most competitive Cardinals camp they've had in years. And they were correct. The one benefit to having guys like Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Tyler O'Neill, Lars Nootbaar, Tommy Edman, to go on and on, leaving him playing the WBC, is it really opened the opportunity for consistent playing time for some of the guys they had questions about. Nolan Gorman is an example of this. You know, they wanted to see, can Nolan Gorman lay off the high fastball and establish that power from the left side again? So far, he's doing that. There's questions about Dylan Carlson. You know, can he continue to hit from the left side? They want to see more power there. Dylan didn't have a great 2022. He's also hurt a little banged up. So they want to see what they can do with their starting outfield. And, of course, the biggest question for the Cardinals this spring is top prospect Jordan Walker going to make this team? And with Lars Nootbaar and Tyler O'Neill out in the WBC, Jordan Walker and Dylan Carlson have been able to play the outfield almost every day. So Ollie Marmol is getting a great chance to see the depth of his club, and it's helping him kind of understand and help make decisions that seem, even with about 2 weeks left in spring, still kind of impossible to make. It's a great problem for the Cardinals to have, and an even better problem for the Cardinals is that everyone seems to be rising up to the challenge. I tried to do a roster projection for the Cardinals the other day, talked to a couple of club officials, and all of us were like, this is all speculative. We can't figure it out yet. So this is obviously going to be a big 2 weeks for the Cardinals as they finish up camp. But I think it's worked out better than expected in terms of finding roles for players that the Cardinals front office maybe wouldn't have had time for or the space for if these top other players didn't depart for the WBC.
So Jordan Walker, you mentioned him, and he's been one of the standouts in camp so far. Do you think that put your manager cap on. If you were putting this team together, would you bring him onto the opening day roster? Because it seems like there's so many outfielders, as you mentioned, with O'Neill and Nootbaar. I mean, they're not even in camp. So does that benefit any of those guys by not being in camp and playing competitive baseball, or does that kind of hinder them? And does that open an opportunity for Jordan Walker to make the opening day roster?
I think there is an opportunity for Tyler O'Neill, Lars Nootbaar, Dylan Carlson, and Jordan Walker to all make the opening day roster. Ollie Marmol is very good at incorporating flexible, versatile lineups. He very rarely deployed the same lineup on back-to-back days last season. Now, I think Tyler O'Neill and Lars Nootbaar, I know Tyler has only had a couple games. He certainly looked good. They've had stellar WBCs so far, and that's something that Ollie Marmol is going to monitor. But the Cardinals entered the 2023 spring with their projected starting outfielder of those two guys plus Dylan Carlson. But they made it very clear that if Jordan Walker performs up to expectations, he has a legitimate chance to make the roster. Jordan Walker has somehow overexceeded the already towering expectations that the organization and baseball and the Cardinals fans have for him. So if I'm the manager of the Cardinals, which I'm no Ollie Marmol, but I'll try my best, I have Jordan Walker on the opening day roster, and I figure out a way for those four to play consistently while also incorporating the bat of Nolan Gorman. They have so many versatile utility pieces. I mean, Brendan Donovan won the first ever National League Utility Gold Glove. And I think that there is a way for them to do it. Now, the only way, of course, Jordan Walker, I think, wouldn't make the opening day roster is if there wasn't a chance for him to play every day. The Cardinals have historically not promoted their top prospects until there is a clear window for them to play every day because they believe it does them no good, these prospects, to come up to the big leagues and ride the bench. And I can certainly understand that reasoning. But if you're looking on spring performances, and this isn't even to say that Dylan Carlson has underperformed, because he really hasn't. Dylan Carlson's looked great this spring. If you're going off spring performances alone, Jordan Walker would start just based on what he's done this spring. So again, there's 2 weeks left in spring. A lot can happen, but if the Cardinals broke camp today, I would have Jordan Walker on that active opening day roster.
Yeah, he's definitely turning heads. And I guess when you hit a 300 or 430-foot bomb onto the concourse over there, I guess that'll do it. But I just had a question because I was looking through. I was doing my research because I'm talking with the great Katie Wu of The Athletic covering the St. Louis Cardinals. I was doing some research on the Cardinals. Tell me a little bit about this Mason Wynn shortstop who actually topped that distance of Jordan Walker of 430. He hit a 435 bomb. So tell me a little bit about this guy.
Oh, yes, a little bit of a friendly rivalry between Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn. They were drafted together. They played in high school around the same area, and they've kind of risen through the ranks in the Cardinals organization as their top two position prospects. Mason Wynn, the Cardinals have always been pretty high on him. He's a former two-way guy, so that's when you see that arm. I mean, he's had some crazy throws from shortstop this spring, clocking out at almost 100 miles per hour. But when you're looking at Mason Wynn, I think the athleticism has always been there. I did not think that he, you know, and I think Mason understood this too, had a chance to win the opening spot on the opening day roster come spring. But what he did show was just how far ahead he is in his development. That's something that really caught me off guard. And I think it's caught the organization off guard as well, too. Again, team has always been high on Mason Wynn. That 2020 draft class, Michael Jordan history for director of scouting Randy Flores and who they got there. Their top three prospects were all from that 2020 draft class. But for Mason Wynn, you're seeing a really respectable level of poise, crazy athleticism, and a chance, I think, to really rise up the ranks much more quickly than the organization expected. It's been a great spring for him. He's certainly a guy that's benefited from players like Tommy Edmond being in WBC, Nolan Arenado being in WBC. It's been exciting. I could certainly see Mason Wynn starting in AAA, and as long as he can continue to be more to be as consistent from the plate as he is from the field, you know, Cardinals could have a good log jam coming up in their middle infield by the end of the season.
Now, Katie, before I let you go, I'm recording in the studio right now, and I have Mexico up 10-2 against USA, which was last night. It was just an electric atmosphere. I mean, we talk about electric atmospheres for the WBC, but that one is a huge rivalry, as we know, in all sports. Whenever Mexico-USA face off, it is an electric atmosphere. But switching back to your pool, you do have an electric matchup coming up here in a couple of days with Dominican Republic and Team Puerto Rico, and it's looking like it may be an elimination game for one of these two countries that have high expectations. What's your pick going into that game? I mean, it's hard to pick against the Dominican Republic with that stacked team, but Team Puerto Rico, they have some fight in them.
You know, this is a game that has been sold out for months already. So to say that the pressure and the demand for it is on is an understatement. Now that it is quite potentially becoming an elimination game for one of the two teams, I think it really ups the ante to an exponentially high amount. I don't know who I would tap. I've only seen both Team Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic play once, and they both lost to Venezuela. Venezuela over here playing spoiler. Yeah. I think that matchup will certainly live up to expectations. I know Mexico-USA did not, especially from the American side.
Yep.
But, well, I don't know. Team Mexico is probably pretty excited about that one.
They're loving it this morning, yeah.
To me, I think Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic was the game to watch in pool play. And all of a sudden, in a move that really no one was really expecting, it's an elimination game. So that's what makes the World Baseball Classic so great, especially when you have 20 teams. It's mass chaos all the time. I mean, Cuba and Italy advanced from Pool A, and every single team had the same record. So imagine what a nightmare that was to figure out, and there's a whole bunch of tie-breaking rules they had to figure out. But we'll see. I also know you can't count out teams like Nicaragua and Israel. Israel's really impressed so far in their early showings in the World Baseball Classic. So we will see. I don't have a pick just yet. Get back to me Tuesday night and we'll see.
Yeah, how about that with Team Israel upsetting Nicaragua with Jonathan Loaisiga on the mound? That was insane. That was their best pitcher, and Team Israel just gave it to him. So, Katie, have a great time out there covering the WBC. I am jealous, but I am going to follow along on your Twitter to get all the insight from inside Miami, and enjoy it. It's going to be really fun, and I hope that you can hear on Thursday.
Me too, Walter. Thanks so much for having me. We'll talk soon.
All right, and that is the great Katie Wu covering the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic, but right now she is on assignment covering the WBC, and I just feel bad, but not too bad, because she's getting to see all these world-class players in Miami with the Dominican Republic, with Team Puerto Rico, with Team Venezuela. I mean, it is a really fun, really electric atmosphere, so I think her ears will be just fine after Thursday. So, Katie Wu, really appreciate you coming by the podcast. Always one of our favorite guests to have on the podcast. We will continue to talk to Katie Wu throughout the regular season, especially when the Cardinals come to town. So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Katie Wu, talking some WBC, talking some prospects with the St. Louis Cardinals. And we will keep this train rolling as we continue to look at the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League later in the week. So you guys have a good one. Be safe. And remember to tune in to that WBC possible elimination game on Wednesday, where you got Puerto Rico, Team Puerto Rico, and Team Dominican Republic in Group D, possible elimination, most likely elimination game, and Dave Fleming will be on the call, so that'll be really fun. Dave Fleming and Yonder Alonso, so that's going to be a lot of fun on Wednesday night, so make sure to tune into that, and make sure to follow Katie Wu on Twitter, at Katie J. Wu, for all your WBC and St. Louis Cardinals updates throughout spring and the regular season. So everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I sure did. It was a lot of fun catching up with Katie Wu. And as always, remember to follow, subscribe, like, share, do everything to support the podcast. And we're going to keep doing this all spring, all season long, every Monday and Friday, appointment listening on Passion for the Pastime. So again, you guys have a good one. Be safe. And we will talk to you next time.